الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we continue reading in the treatise of Al-Imam Al-Humaydi رحمه الله تعالى, entitled أصول السنة, the fundamentals of the Sunnah. And the author, he has mentioned a number of issues, and we continue reading, and he says رحمه الله والقرآن كلام الله. والقرآن كلام الله. And also from the fundamentals of the religion, of the creed and belief, the deen and the guidance that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was the scholars of hadith, those who narrated the religion and the guidance of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from back to the tabi'een and to the sahaba, their creed and their belief, and from the sunnah and their understanding. والقرآن كلام الله, and that the Quran is the speech of Allah. The people of the Sunnah, they believe in all of the beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection that have come in the book and the Sunnah, and whatever Allah Azza wa Jal, He has described Himself in His book, and whatever His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has described Allah with from names and attributes, then we affirm them in a manner befitting the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we do not deny any of them. And from that is the issue of al-kalam, kalam Allah azza wa jal. That from the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He speaks and He has speech, and the revelation that He has revealed to all of the prophets and messengers, this is from the speech of Allah. We believe that all of the books of revelation, they're all min kalam Allah azza wa jal. They're all from the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the speech is from the attributes of Allah, and Allah azza wa jal, He's the creator and He's not created. And His attributes likewise are not created. And from His attributes subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-kalam. So the people of knowledge, they clarify these affairs because there are individuals who have deviated with regards to this creed from the Jahmiyyah and the likes of them, and they deny the attributes of Allah azza wa jal, and specifically the attribute of speech. And they deny that the Quran is the speech of Allah, that He spoke with it, with speech that is heard, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether they make false claims and they claim that the Quran is created, or they claim that the Quran is kalamun nafsi, it is kalamun nafsi, yani it's the type of speech inside of oneself, that Allah, He didn't speak it out loud, and that it was not heard by Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. They deny these affairs. So the people of the Sunnah, they established these principles to clarify. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book in a number of verses clarifying directly that Allah, He speaks, mentioning the word kalam and the words derived from that, and also mentioning other words indicating the same issue, from al-qawl and the words derived from that, talking and speaking. So Allah, He says, وَإِنْ أَحَدٌ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اسْتَجَارَكَ فَأَجِيرُهُ حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. And if any one of the pagans seeks protection from you, then grant him protection so that he may hear the speech of Allah. حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. So that he may hear the speech of Allah. So it's very clear that the Quran is the speech of Allah. And Allah, He mentioned about the hypocrites in His book, يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُبَدِّلُوا كَلَامَ اللَّهِ, that they want to exchange and change the speech of Allah. So the point is to see here that Allah, He's affirming in His book that He speaks and that He has speech, and that the Quran is the speech of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, likewise, He mentioned about Musa alayhi salam, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. And Allah, He spoke to Musa with direct speech, with clear speech. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. And likewise, Allah, He said as well, in the same regards, وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ. And His Lord spoke to him, meaning Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and His Lord spoke to him. And likewise, there are other verses as well clarifying this affair. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَ. And whenever your Lord, He said to the angels, وَإِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى. And whenever Allah, He said, O Isa, until the end of the verse. The point is to establish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He clarified in His book that He speaks, and that He talks to whom He wills in the manner that He wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that His speech is from His attribute, and it's not created. None of the attributes of Allah azza wa jal are created. The speech of Allah, the hearing of Allah, the seeing of Allah, the mercy of Allah, the knowledge of Allah, the wisdom of Allah, the power and authority of Allah, the lordship of Allah, the divinity of Allah, these are all from the attributes of Allah azza wa jal. None of them are created. None of them are created because Allah, He's the creator and He's not created. And His attributes are not created. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, it has come in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a narration that is well known. In the narration of Adi ibn Hatim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, referring to the affair on the day of resurrection, وَمَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا وَسِيُكَلِّمُهُ رَبُّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ تُرْجُمَانِ. There's not one of you at all, except on the day of resurrection, his Lord will speak to him. There will not be any translator between the two. So it's affirmed clearly in the book and in the sunnah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He speaks. He speaks with words that are heard, and they're formed from letters, like we see here. Biharfin wa sawt, the people of knowledge, they mention. And the Qur'an is the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal. Al-Qur'anu kalam Allah. Al-Qur'anu kalam Allah. This is how the author, he mentions here. And the people of knowledge, they emphasize after that, غَيْرُ makhluq. Kalam Allah, غَيْرُ makhluq. That it is not created. That it is not created. Because the Jahmiyyah, those who followed the way of Jahm ibn Safwan, then they claim that the Qur'an was created. They claim that the Qur'an was created. But the Qur'an is the speech of Allah and it's not created. So our creed is to say, Al-Qur'anu kalamullahi ghayru makhluq. Man hu bada'a wa ilayhi ya'ud. That the Qur'an is the speech of Allah and it is not created. It came from Him. It came from Him initially, coming from Him, and to Him it will return. And it's prescribed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's important principles to understand with this regards. From that is that al-kalamu yunsabu ila man qala bihi ibtida'an la man naqalahu ada'an. Al-kalamu yunsabu ila man قاله ابتداء أو إلى من تكلم به ابتداء لا إلى من نقله أداء لا إلى من نقله أداء. That speech, words are ascribed to the one who said it in the first place, not to the one who transmitted it later after. Speech is ascribed initially to the one who said it in the first place. To the one who said it in the first place. The one who initiated the speech. And he mentioned it or said it in the first place. Not the one who transmitted that speech after him. Not one who transmitted that speech after him. For example, if I say to you right now, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. That indeed the actions are by way of intention, and every individual will have what he had intended. Is that my statement? Whose statement is that? إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. That indeed the deeds are but by way of an intention. Are but by way of the intention, and every individual will have what he intended. Whose statement is that? That's the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. بَيْنَ الرَّجْلِ وَبَيْنَ الْكُفْرِ وَشِرْكِ تَرْكُ السَّلَامِ. Between a man and between falling into disbelief and polytheism is leaving the prayer. Whose statement is that? Is that my statement? That's not my statement. These are not my statements. These are the statements of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I'm saying it now, but I'm saying it by transmitting that statement that was already made, transmitting those words that were already established. And those words that are being transmitted, they were initiated by another. And here in this case, it was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the one who said that. He is the one who formed these sentences with these meanings. And he is the one who mentioned that statement. And that's the messenger statement sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not mine. That's the messenger statement sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not mine. So statements, they're ascribed to the one who mentioned them initially in the first place, not to those who transmit them later. Not to those who transmit them later. So the one who spoke the Quran first and foremost is Allah Azza wa Jal. So whenever we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din. Is that my statement? Is that the statement of the Prophet? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whose statement is that? That's the statement of Allah. That's the speech of Allah. That's the speech of Allah. The speech of Allah is not created. The speech of Allah is from the attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal, and it's not created. Al-Kalam sifatun min sifatillahi Azza wa Jal. Al-Kalam sifatun min sifatillahi Azza wa Jal. Speech is from the attributes, is an attribute from the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. Is an attribute from the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore it's not created. And Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, Al-Qur'an kalamullahi haythuma tawajjaha. Al-Qur'an kalamullahi haythuma tawajjaha. That the Qur'an is the speech of Allah wherever it may go, however it may be. يعني whether ولو حفظ في الصدور أو كتب في السطور أو سمع بالآذان أو سمع بالآذان أو تكلم به بالألسنة، كل هذا كلام الله عز وجل والقرآن، كل هذا قرآن وكلام الله عز وجل. Regardless of whether it's memorized in the hearts or whether it's written on the lines in the paper or whether it is heard by the ears or it's pronounced on the tongue, this is all the speech of Allah عز وجل. No doubt the paper and the ink is created, and the one reciting and his recitation, his actual voice is created. But that which is being recited and that which is being written and that which is being memorized and that which is being heard is the Quran, the speech of Allah, and that is not created. And that is not created. Do you understand this? So the people of Allah, as they say, as-sawtu, sawtul qari, wal-kalamu, kalamul bari. As-sawtu, sawtul qari, wal-kalamu, kalamul bari. That the voice is the voice of the reciter, but the speech is the speech of the creator. The speech is the speech of the creator. We understand this. So the Quran is the words of Allah. It's the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's from His command. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned in His book, وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ يعني يا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم رُوحًا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا. And like that, we have revealed to you a ruh, يعني a spirit, a revelation full of light and life, مِنْ أَمْرِنَا. So Allah, He says, and like that, O Prophet, we have revealed to you, صلى الله عليه وسلم, ruh, revelation and mercy and guidance from our command, مِنْ أَمْرِنَا. So the revelation is min amrillah, is from the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. And another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, Ala lahu al-khalqu wal-amr. Indeed, for Allah is the creation and the command. The creation and the command. The other verse, it means that indeed, we like that we have revealed to you, O Messenger, a mercy and revelation from our command. Min amrina, from our command. So the revelation is from the command of Allah. And in this verse here, ala lahu al-khalqu wal-amr. Indeed, for Allah is the creation and the command. So the creation is the creation of Allah, and the command is the command of Allah. And the creation is clear from the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. These creatures and this creation around us. As for the command, then this is the legislative command and the revelation and the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal. In the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal. Al-Baghawi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned in the tafsir of this verse from Ibn Uyayna rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says, فرق الله بين الخلق والأمر فمن جمع بينهما فقد كفر. That Allah, He differentiated between the creation and the command. So whoever mixes them together, whoever gathers them together, including them, and whoever gathers them together, considering them to be one, then he has disbelieved. Ala lahu al-khalq wal-amr. Indeed, the creation is for Allah and the command. And the command. So here, these are two different and separate affairs. So the creation is not the command. The creation is in the universal decree of Allah. This is with regards to al-ahkam al-kawniyya al-qadariyya. Al-khalq is with regards to al-ahkam al-kawniyya al-qadariyya. With regards to the universal decree and rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for al-amr, this is with regards to al-ahkam الدينية الشرعية, the legislative religious rulings of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that is from His speech and His revelation that He reveals to His prophets and messengers alayhi salatu wassalam. So there's a difference between the two. Al-Khalqu wal-Amr. Al-Khalqu wal-Amr. Al-Khalqu khalqullah wal-Amru huwa al-Qur'an. Huwa al-Qur'an wal-Wahyu min indi Allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the creation is the creation of Allah. He creates whatever He wills subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as for the command, then this is the revelation and the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the one who denies this affair, he has fallen into disbelief, waliyadhu billah. The one who denies this affair, he has fallen into disbelief, waliyadhu billah. So the author, he says, with regards to this, Sami'tu Sufyana, yani Ibn Uyayna. Sami'tu Sufyana, yani Ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah, yaqulu, al-Qur'anu kalam Allah. ومن قال مخلوق فهو مبتدع لم أسمع أحدا يقول هذا. He said, I heard from Sufyan, meaning Ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah, that he said, the Quran is the speech of Allah, and whoever says that it's created, then he's an innovator. I never heard anyone saying the likes of this. Anyone from the scholars of hadith and from the people of the sunnah. We never heard anyone saying the likes of this. Any meaning from those people who are reliable and trustworthy and who have transmitted the Quran and the sunnah to us. None of them were saying the likes of this. So here he's saying that the person he says that the Quran is created is an innovator. And some people may misunderstand what is intended by that. And the issue of bid'ah is that it's in two categories with regards to severity. With regards to severity, there's bid'ah mukaffira wa bid'ah mufassiqa. There is a bid'ah, an innovation that is disbelief, and that will cause a person to apostate, cause a person to fall into apostasy. Waliyadu billah, meaning he will leave the religion. Meaning it's an innovation that is major disbelief. And then there are other types of innovation that are not that severe. They're innovation, but they're not of that severity, and they're called bid'ah mufassiqa. And this is a type of innovation that will not take one out of Islam, but it will weaken his faith until he's considered fasiq, until he's considered from the evil and the wicked, until he's considered from the evil and the wicked from the believers. So the issue of innovation is very dangerous. But the reality here is that they're different levels. So someone may be considered a mubtadi, but at the same time he's a kafir. For example, making tawaf around the graves. This is an innovation. This is an innovation. Calling, standing by the grave, asking for shifa. This is an innovation. But what's the severity of that innovation? It's disbelief. Waliyadu billah. So some innovation is disbelief, and some innovation is lesser than that. Some innovation is lesser than that. So whenever he's saying here, وَمَنْ قَالَ مَخْلُوقٌ فَهُوَ مُبْتَدِعٌ, whenever and whoever says that it's created and he's an innovator, this has been clarified by himself, by Sufyan ibn Uyayna himself, rahimahullah ta'ala, what he means by that. And we've seen in this previous narration likewise that what he's intending here is that he's a disbeliever, an innovator who has said something that has never been mentioned before by the people of Sunnah, but the reality of that innovation is that it is disbelief. I have with me today Kitab As-Sunnah. This is in two volumes. This is the verse volume. It's by Abdullah ibn al-Imam Ahmed. It's authored by Abdullah ibn al-Imam Ahmed, the son of al-Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah ta'ala, and he died in the year 290. And this is from those books that are known as Kutub al-Aqaid al-Musnada, the son of Imam Ahmed. Abdullah here, rahimahullah ta'ala, he narrates with his chain of narration back to his father and back to the other scholars of hadith and the likes like this, mentioning the proper creed and belief according to the understanding of those best generations and those scholars of hadith. Whenever he introduces this work, the very beginning, the very first issue he discusses the issue of the Jahmiyyah, and that the people of knowledge have declared them to be disbelievers, especially with regards to the issue of claiming that the Quran is created, claiming that the Quran is created. So he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, سَمِعْتُ أَبِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ يَقُولُ مَنْ قَالَ الْقُرْآنُ مَخْلُوقٌ فَهُوَ عِنْدَنَا كَافِرٌ لِأَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ مِنْ عِلْمِ اللَّهِ وَفِيهِ أَسْمَاءُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. He said, I heard my father saying that whoever says the Quran is created, then we consider him to be a disbeliever. And that's because the Quran is from the knowledge of Allah. It's from the knowledge of Allah. You understand that? So the knowledge of Allah is what? Huh? It's from the attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal. From the sifat of Allah Azza wa Jal is knowledge. Allah Azza wa Jal, from his attributes is knowledge. And he is the one who has encompassed all things in knowledge. So from his attributes is encompassing knowledge. So to claim that it's created is disbelief. Waliyadu billah. So the point to clarify here, Imam Ahmed, he's clarifying that the one who says the Quran is created, then we consider him a disbeliever. Because the Quran is from the knowledge of Allah. And in it are the names of Allah. He mentioned a number of other statements from his father, rahimahullah ta'ala, but we continue. He mentions, moving on from discussing the issues about his father, and he moves on to Abdullah ibn Mubarak. And he says, mentioning his chain to Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah ta'ala, who died in the year 181. He says, كان ابن المبارك يقول الجهمية كفار. That ibn al-Mubarak, he used to say that the Jahmiyyah, they are kufar. They are disbelievers. And likewise, moving on, he mentions narrations with his chain to Sufyan ibn Uyayna. This is the shahid here. And he mentioned his chain now to Sufyan ibn Uyayna. And he says that he heard him saying, القرآن كلام الله ومن قال مخلوق فهو كافر. That the Quran is the speech of Allah, and whoever says that it's created, then he is a disbeliever. So this narration here clarifies what is intended here in this wording. We should not think that, oh, he's an innovator, meaning that this statement is not disbelief. Meaning he's an innovator, he's saying a statement that has no foundation, no basis, that was not mentioned from those before. As he mentioned here, مَا سَمِعْتُ أَحَدًا يَقُولُ هَذَا. I never heard anyone saying that. But the reality of this innovation here, هَذِهِ الْبِدْعَ كُفْرٌ أَكْبَرٌ مُخْرِجٌ مِنَ الْمِلَّةِ. This is major disbelief. This is major disbelief, taking a person out of the deen about Islam. He even emphasized in this narration, rahimahullah, and he says, وَمَن شَكَّ فِي كُفْرِهِ فُوَ كَافِرٌ. Whoever doubts in the disbelief of this person, then he is a disbeliever. And also he mentioned another chain to Sufyan ibn Uyayna, and he said, رحمه ta'ala, مَنْ قَالَ الْقُرْآنُ مَخْرُوقٌ كَانَ مُحْتَاجًا إِلَىٰ أَنْ يُصْلَبَ عَلَى ذِبَابٍ يعني جَبَل. The one who claims, the one who says that the Quran is created, he is in need to be crucified on the mountain of Jibab, of Dibab, and he's in need to be crucified in front of all of the people on the mountain like that, in this manner. And this is his retribution and punishment for this crime, meaning that this is apostasy, meaning that this claim and this creed is the creed of disbelief, and the one who makes it has apostated, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, has apostated, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So likewise, he mentioned a number of other narrations as well. This one is from Abdullah ibn Idris, rahimahullah ta'ala, and he says, and he mentioned his chain, and he says, Yahya ibn Yusuf Azami, he says, حَلَرْتُ عَبْدُلَّهِ ibn Idris فَقَالَ لَهُ رَجُلٌ. I said, I was in the presence of Abdullah ibn Idris, and a man, he said to him, يَا أَبُ مُحَمَّدْ إِنَّ قِبَلَنَا نَاسًا يَقُولُونَ إِنَّ الْقُرْآنَ مَخْلُوقٌ. He said, where we're coming from, there are individuals, they're saying that the Quran is created. فَقَالَ مِنَ الْيَهُودِ. He said, you mean from the Jews? قَالَ لَا. He says, قَالَ فَمِنَ النَّصَارَى. He said, you mean from the Christians then? قَالَ لَا. قَالَ فَمِنَ الْمَجُوسِ. قَالَ, he said, from the Magi's then? He قَالَ لَا. قَالَ فَمِنْ مَنْ. And he, then who are you talking about? There's people where you live saying that the Quran is created. You mean from the Jews? And they're the only ones who would be bold enough to say something as foul and lowly as this. No, not the Jews. They mean the Christians then? And after them, they would only be the ones who are filthy enough and lowly enough to make this claim. And no, not the Christians. You mean the Magi's? The Magi's? And then he said, no. He said, who is it then? Who was making this claim? قَالَ مِنَ الْمُوَحِّدِينَ. قَالَ مِنَ الْمُوَحِّدِينَ. He said, from the people of At-Tawheed. From the people of At-Tawheed. قَالَ كَذَبُوا. He said, wallahi, they're lying. He said, they're lying. لَيْسَ هَؤُلَاءِ بِمُوَحِّدِينَ. Those people are not from people of At-Tawheed. هَؤُلَاءِ زَنَادِقَ. These people, they're heretics. These people are heretics, disbelievers, hypocrites who are in the fold of Islam trying to misguide the Muslims. مَنْ زَعَمَ أَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ مَخْلُوقٌ فَقَدْ زَعَمَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَخْلُوقٌ. Whoever claims that the Quran is created, then he's claiming that Allah is created. وَمَنْ زَعَمَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى مَخْلُوقٌ فَقَدْ كَفَرٌ. And whoever claims that Allah is created, then indeed he has disbelieved. هَؤُلَاءِ زَنَادِقَ. هَؤُلَاءِ زَنَادِقَ. These people are heretics. These people are heretics. These people are hypocrites, pure hypocrites, seeking to destroy Islam and corrupt its people. Seeking to destroy Islam and corrupt its people. They were so serious about this affair. When it came to creed, there's no playing with the people of Hadith. They will stand firm. Because the creed is the means to enter paradise. لا يدخل الجنة إلا نفس مؤمنة. No one went to paradise except for a believing soul. A believing soul. If the belief is corrupted, then he will not enter paradise. If it's corrupted until it's gone, وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ, he will never enter paradise. If it's corrupted until it becomes deficient, and based upon that, his manners and his conduct and his actions and his worship and his devotion and his relationship with his Lord and Creator is going to be deficient and weak. It's going to be deficient and weak. So from the sincere advice and the love for Islam and its people, they stand up and they defend the creed. And they defend the belief, and they clarify the falsehood, and they go to war with the people of innovation, with chains of narration, and with knowledge and evidence and proof from the Quran and the authentic Sunnah. Likewise, he mentions chains of narrations to Waqi' ibn al-Jarrah, rahimahullah, from the best of the scholars of Hadith. He died in the year 197. He mentioned his chain here, and he says, سَمِعْتُ وَكِيعًا يَقُولُ مَنْ قَالَ الْقُرْآنُ مَخْلُوقٌ فَقَدْ كَفَرٌ. He says the same statement. Whoever says that the Quran is created, then he disbelieved. Then he has this disbelieved. Then he has disbelieved. And there are many other narrations likewise from them. The narration of Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi, he mentioned a number of them from him. And he's from also, wallahi, the best of the scholars of hadith, the best of this ummah, Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi. He died in the same year as Sufyan ibn Uyayna. What year is that? 198. Also, there's another one who died in the same year. His name is Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qatan. He died in the same year as Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi. What year is that? 198. And Waqi', he died one year before them. Huh? 197. Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi, he says, Rahimahullah ta'ala, لو كان لي من الأمر شيء لقمت على الجسر فلا يمر بي أحد من الجهمية إلا سألته عن القرآن فإن قال إنه مخلوق ضربت رأسه ورميت به في الماء. He said, if the authority was in my hands, and if I was the Muslim ruler, if the authority was in my hands, then I would stand on the bridge. And anybody who passed by me from the Jahmiyyah, I would stop in and ask him about the Quran. And if he said the Quran was created, I'll strike him in his head with the sword and throw him in the water. I'll strike him in the head with the sword and cast him in the water. And he will not be buried as a Muslim. He'll be dealt with in this manner. He'll be humiliated in this manner. And he will not be buried as a Muslim. He'll die as an apostate. This is the position that they had. And this is what he said, if I was in authority, this is how I would deal with the likes of these people. Meaning that it's very serious. Meaning that it's very serious. So the statement that the author he's mentioning here, rahimahullah ta'ala, al-Quran, that the Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah, he says, al-Quran kalamullahi wa man qala makhluqun fahu mubtadi', that the Quran is the speech of Allah, and whoever says that it's created, then he is an innovator. Lam nasma' ahadan yaqulu hadha. We never heard anyone saying that. Yani he's an innovator. He's an innovator, and he had the qawlu mubtadi'a. وَقَائِلُهُ كَافِرٌ, that this statement here is a statement of innovation, and the one who makes it is a disbeliever. The one who makes it is a disbeliever, is a disbeliever. So this is the case with regards to the Jahmiyyah and those who called to that way, and those who called to that way. As for after some time passed and other individuals were affected by their doubts and misconceptions, then some of the scholars would excuse some of them, like Al-Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah, whenever he excused some of the khulafa and the rulers in his day. And he did not declare them to be disbelievers, although they were aiding and supporting this claim. And this is because they had around them individuals in their company and advisors that were pushing this creed upon them. So Imam Ahmed, he did not revolt against the ruler, although he was making that statement and forcing that statement upon the people. And he excused him for his ignorance because the people around him were people of deviation, and they're misleading him and lying to him and making wrong interpretations and the lies like this. So in certain situations, this is the case. So the point is now to understand the general principle that one that applying the ruling, and the understanding of the rule in general is different than applying it to an individual. It's different to applying it to an individual. This requires conditions to be established and affairs to be brought in order for that ruling to be made against individuals specifically. So we're not hastening these affairs, but we learn these rulings to know the dangers of this issue and the realities of this issue in order to stay away from falsehood and evil and to stay away from disbelief and apostasy upon insight and upon clarity and upon knowledge. Upon insight and upon clarity and upon knowledge. After this he says, rahimahullah, wa sami'tu Sufyan yaqul, and I heard Sufyan, yani Ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah, yaqul, saying, al-imanu qawlun wa amalun. Al-imanu qawlun wa amalun wa yazidu wa yankus. I heard Sufyan saying, rahimahullah, that iman is statement and action, and it increases and decreases. فَقَالَ لَهُ أَخُوهُ إِبْرَاهِيمِ ابْنُ عُيَيْنَةَ. So his brother said to him, Ibrahim ibn Uyayna, and the brother of Sufyan, his name is Ibrahim ibn Uyayna, he said to him now, يَا أَبَا مُحَمَّدْ لَا تَقُولْ يَنْقُسْ. He said, oh Abu Muhammad, don't say that it decreases. Don't say that it decreases. And the iman increases and decreases. No, don't say that it decreases. Don't say that. فَغَضِبَ وَقَالَ أُسْكُدْ يَا صَبِي. He said, yeah. He became very angry. He said, Uskut ya sabi, be quiet, little boy. He became angry. Be quiet, little boy. Uskut ya sabi, bal hatta la yabqa minhu shay'un. He said, be quiet, little boy. Brother, it decreases until nothing from it remains. Until nothing from it remains. And so they were stern about this affair. The people will be reprimanded whenever these issues are brought up. And it would be made clear with no doubts or misconceptions, the position and the stance of the scholars of hadith. the position and the stance of the scholars of hadith in these affairs. So here, going back to the issue that has preceded, al-iman is statement and action. We have seen the details of that, how that is understood in detail. Statement of the tongue, a statement of the heart, and action of the heart, and actions on the body parts. It increases and it decreases, meaning it increases with obedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla and decreases with disobedience to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Rather, it can decrease until nothing from that remains. But what is intended here is not the fact that, not if a person, he keeps doing sin, major sin, the faith will go away. La, major sins do not remove the faith. Major sins do not remove the faith. You understand that? Meaning, Allah knows best, this is a threat. Or that the person who commits these major sins, then the name of Iman will be lifted from him. And he will be considered a Muslim and not a mu'min. And he has violated the rights of faith. Or it could be understood what is intended here, حتى لا يبقى منه شيء, that the Iman could decrease until nothing remains, meaning that al-kabair wal-dhanub wal-ma'asi, yani al-dhanub wal-ma'asi wal-kabair khususan, wasilatun ila kufr. And the people of knowledge, they say al-ma'asi barid al-kufr. That, what is could be understood from this, or how it is, how this is understood, is that actions of disobedience and sins, especially the major sins, they lead to disbelief. One who will not commit a major sin and disbelief. This is the way of the Khawarij, not the way of the people of the Sunnah. But the people of knowledge, they say, al-ma'asiyah barid al-kufr, yani wasila il-kufr, that sins and actions of disobedience lead to kufr. They're the steps, it's from the steps of the devil. And he will follow those footsteps, and he will follow into sin little by little until he slips out of the religion, waliyadhu billah. Until he slips entirely out of the religion and then falls into major disbelief and commits something from the statements or actions of apostasy. Not that a person, he will continue to do a sin until the iman decreases and decreases till it's gone. No, because sins do not cause the iman to go away. The sins do not, it causes to weaken, but they will not cause the iman to be lost entirely. Sins do not uproot iman from its foundation. This similar statement has been narrated by Al-Auza'i, rahimahullah. He died in the year 157. Abdurrahman ibn Amr Al-Auza'i, Abu Amr, he's the Imam of Sham in his days. And he was also alive in the same time as Ibn Uyayna and Sufyan ibn Thawri and Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi. They're all peers, each one of them in his own region. So he says, الإيمان قول وعمل يزيد وينقص فمن زعم أن الإيمان لا يزيد ولا ينقص فاحذروه فإنه مبتدع. That Iman is statement and action, it increases and decreases. And whoever claims that Iman does not increase nor decrease, then watch out from him. Then beware of him, because indeed he's an innovator. وسئل رحمه الله تعالى عن الإيمان أيزيد قال نعم حتى يكون كالجبال قيل فينقص قال نعم حتى لا يبقى منه شيء. And one time he was asked likewise, rahimahullah, about Iman, does it increase? And he said, yes, until it's like that of mountains. And they said, what does it decrease? He says, yes, until nothing from it remains. So the reality of Iman, as has preceded, it has a foundation, and then it has obligations, and then it has a recommended level. It has a foundation, and then it has obligations, and then it has a recommended level. So we want to discuss this affair in a bit of brief detail. And this is our last day in the Dawrah. And the first day we mentioned that this is Dawratun Ilmiyatun Mukathafa. This is an intense knowledge-based seminar. So today we're going to take our time. Barakallahu fikum. So we have to pay attention. Al-Iman, it is not all one level. There's a foundation, and then after that, it can, as he's saying here, it can increase up to the mountains, and it can become very strong, very strong. And then also it can fall again, and even it can go down to the foundation. Even the foundation can be uprooted. it can be uprooted from the foundation. It can be uprooted from the foundation. So the foundation of Iman is called Aslu al-Iman. Aslu al-Iman. Whenever we study our religion is in, from the Quran and the Sunnah, and they're in Arabic. They're in Arabic. So it's very important, if we did not know the Arabic language, to be studying to learn the Arabic language. And from that is to learn vocabulary, especially mustalahat, terminology, mustalahat ilmiyah, mustalahat that are knowledge-based mustalahat, in order to understand what is intended by the people of knowledge. So they say that the foundation of Iman is called Aslu al-Iman. Other times they will call it Mutlaqu al-Iman, Mudaf Mudaf ilay. For those who understand that, they will benefit. Mudaf Mudaf ilay. Mutlaqu al-Iman. Or Aslu al-Iman, the foundation of Iman. And this is by believing in Allah and His angels and His messengers and His books in the last day, and in the decree, the good of that and the bad of that, and testifying that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and establishing the outward aspect of Islam that is sufficient to correct his faith, and he establishing the prayer. Now he enters into the fold of that Islam. He has the foundation of faith. He enters into the fold of that Islam. He has the foundation of faith. We understand? The foundation of that Islam. Sometimes the Salaf, they would draw a circle like this, a big circle. This here is the foundation of al-Islam. Inside here is mutlaq al-Iman. Mutlaq al-Iman. Aslu al-Iman. Here. And other times this level here is called al-Islam. It's called al-Islam. And all of the Muslims here are inside this realm. Everyone who is a Muslim, he's here. They all share in having the foundation of faith. You understand? They all share in having the foundation of faith. After embracing Islam and entering into the fold of Islam and establishing the foundation of faith, there are rights of faith and obligations that Iman requires and necessitates, and that Iman will not be complete until they're established. Until they're established. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has clarified in His book these rights, and likewise the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From that, the prayer, there are other obligations that are upon us. The obligation of salah, and the obligation of zakah, and the obligation of fasting. These are obligations that we must perform. In order for our faith to be complete and to be good and proper, these rights, they must be fulfilled. And that's by establishing the pillars of al-Islam, inwardly and outwardly. Also, there are other affairs likewise, like being kind to the parents, being kind and obedient to the parents, and respecting them and not disobeying them, and likewise honoring the relatives and keeping ties of the relatives. These are obligations that must be performed. Likewise, respecting the neighbor. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min." I swear by Allah, he doesn't believe, three times. They said, "Who, O Messenger of Allah?" Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Man la ya'manu jaruhu bawa'iqa," the one who his neighbor is not safe from his harms, from his evils. So therefore, making sure your neighbor is safe from your evils is a right of faith. And if you violate that right, your faith is not complete. You have not fulfilled the rights of your faith. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma muslim man salima al-muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi." The true Muslim, the one who has completed his faith, and this Islam is strong, is the one who the other Muslims are safe from his tongue and from his hand. So if someone is harming the Muslims with their tongue or their hand, or any other part of their body, with their thumbs, for example, on Twitter and YouTube and the likes like that, then that's because of a deficiency in their faith. They're a deficiency in their faith. So it's an obligation to make sure that you do not harm the Muslims, not with your tongue, nor with your hand. Not with your tongue, nor with your hand. So these rights must be fulfilled for the faith to be strong, for the faith to be complete, for a person to be considered a believer. So there's a difference here from being considered a Muslim than being considered a believer. These rights, they're obligatory rights. They're called hukuk al-wajib. And this aspect of Iman is called al-Iman al-wajib. Nat wa manut. Al-Iman al-wajib. The obligatory Iman. So there are obligations of faith that must be fulfilled. In this manner, the faith, after entering into the fold and then learning these rights and these obligations and how to perform them, and then striving against one's soul to implement that in his life, his faith will rise until he has fulfilled the rights of faith. Now he has reached another level inside that circle, and that is a smaller circle, and it's higher in level, and that is the level of al-Iman. That is the level of al-Iman. And everyone who is in the level of Iman, that's called a mu'min, he is also a Muslim. But not everyone who is a Muslim from this regard is a mu'min. But not everyone who is a Muslim in this regard is a mu'min. So that means that the mu'min, he is the one who has the foundation of faith, and then he has fulfilled the obligatory rights of his faith by establishing the obligations and avoiding the prohibitions. By establishing the obligations and avoiding the prohibitions. This is the manner to complete the faith. Anybody who falls short in his obligations, his iman falls down accordingly. Anyone who violates the prohibitions, his iman falls down accordingly. And whenever the iman falls down, he is exposed to the anger of Allah and to the hellfire. To the anger of Allah and to the hellfire. So the one who has the foundation of iman, if he dies with the foundation of iman, he's guaranteed to enter paradise. But he's not guaranteed to enter without any punishment nor any reckoning. And he's not guaranteed to enter without being tried and purified in the hellfire. So those who die while they're in the state of Islam, but not in the state of Iman, those who die while their faith is deficient, while they are committing major sins, by not performing the obligations properly or by perpetrating some of the prohibitions, they died in that manner while their faith is weak, although they have the foundation of Adi Iman, they're under the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. If Allah wills, He will punish them in the fire according to their sins, a punishment of purification. And then they will be taken out whenever Allah wills. Until some of them, they will be taken out of the fire. They'll have nothing but less than a mustard seed grain of faith. A mustard. Adana habbat khardal min al-iman. They will be taken out, and the last of them, they will be taken out, and they will be thrown in the river. A river in the Jannah is called Nahrul Hayat, the river of life. And they will grow and come to life, and they will enter paradise. They will enter paradise, and they will be burned until they're almost nothing like coal. Until they're almost nothing like coal. Because of their sins. These are Muslims. These are Muslims. These are Muslims. These are people maybe from Ahl Sunnah. There's people from Ahl Sunnah that are called Fusaq Ahl Sunnah. Maybe he's Salafi. Maybe he's Salafi. He can be Salafi and be a Fasiq. He can be Salafi, he can be a liar. He can be Salafi, he can be a cheater. He can be Salafi and he takes interest. He can be Salafi and he wrongs his wife. She can be Salafi and she wrongs her husband. They can be having the foundation of faith and the fundamental creed and belief, but it's deficient and it's weak. And their faith did not carry them to fulfill the obligations and avoid the prohibitions. So now they're exposed to the anger of Allah accordingly. So now they're exposed to the anger of Allah accordingly. So this is the reality of Iman. There's a foundation of Iman. Then there's an obligatory level of Iman that must be completed. That must be completed. The one who completes the obligatory level of Al-Iman and he dies like that, he's guaranteed to enter paradise with no reckoning and no punishment. He's guaranteed to enter paradise with no reckoning and no punishment. And if anything, he will have Al-Hisab al-Yasir. Al-Hisab, the light reckoning. And he will go to Jannah. He will go to Jannah. He will not go to the fire. وَيُنَجِّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. And Allah, He will save them because of their piety, because of their faith, because of their tawheed, because of their obedience, because of their love of Allah and His Messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they strove against their soul to fulfill the rights and obligations of their faith. We understand. So somebody, maybe he steals, or somebody, maybe he commits fornication. These are major sins, but they're lesser than disbelief. So his faith falls and falls and falls and falls. And falls, but he will never commit major sin that will take him out of Islam. What is intended here by that the iman can decrease until nothing remains is that the one who's committing these major sins, then his faith will continue to fall until maybe he'll be misled and be misguided and eventually leave the prayer and stop praying. Or he will have doubts about Islam and fall into disbelief by falling out of the fold of Islam. So the major sins, they will lead a person to disbelief if one is not careful. But they are not disbelief themselves. You understand that? This is the intent here. That the iman can increase and go high and high and high until like mountains. And it can decrease all the way until it doesn't remain. Meaning it can become weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker until eventually a person, he may lose his faith. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ and fall out of the fold of Islam because of his statement, his creed, or his action, or because of doubts that are contrary to Al-Islam, So we see the fold of Islam, this is the big circle, this is the foundation of faith. All of the believers, they share in that. Those who complete the rites of their faith by fulfilling the obligations and avoiding the prohibitions, they have raised to the level of Iman. And it's a smaller circle inside that circle, and it's higher and fewer people there. Fewer people are there. All of the believers, alhamdulillah, they're here in the fold of Islam. But the good believers, the good Muslims, they're in a higher level. And they got there by striving against their soul to implement the obligations of their faith. After being in this level, now there's another level of Iman. It's called Al-Iman Al-Mustahab. The recommended aspect of Iman. نعوى المنعوت الإيمان المستحب الإيمان the recommended aspect of الإيمان performing the non-obligatory prayers performing the night prayer performing the non-obligatory fast fasting on Ashura for example which is coming up soon performing the non-obligatory charity helping the poor and the needy in a voluntary manner teaching in a voluntary manner all of the other voluntary non-obligatory actions of the religion they're here. They're here. So those who compete now after completing their faith, this is like a maidan. Maidan is sibak. This is like a course for competition and munafisa for the believers to hasten. وَلِذَٰلِكَ فَلِيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ And in this level here. So now once they reach this level of iman, they can strive harder in performing not only the obligations, but likewise competing in the recommended affairs. And not only avoiding the prohibitions, but also competing and leaving off that which is disliked. In this manner, they raise higher and higher and higher, and they reach the level of Al-Ihsan, the third level from the levels of the deen. The third level from the levels of the deen, which the Salaf, they would draw a smaller circle inside the circle of iman. That's smaller than iman and of course smaller than Islam. And since it's smaller, likewise it's higher, and there's fewer people there. There's fewer people there. There's fewer people there. This is who we hope to be. We hope to be from the muhsineen. When Allah al-ma' al-muhsineen, and Allah is with the muhsineen, with the muttaqeen, with the mu'mineen. So alhamdulillah, nahnu muslimun. Well, we want to be from those Muslims who are good, who establish their faith and show care and concern for their faith. And they don't suffice with just being Muslim. Rather, they want to learn their religion and learn the obligations of their religion and the sacred rights of their religion and learn that which violates their religion from the foundation and that which brings weakness to their religion so that they can be upright upon the straight path, upon insight and clarity, upon goodness, so they can enjoy this life in the limits of Allah and have the mercy of Allah in this life and the hereafter. And have the mercy of Allah in this life and in the hereafter. So the people of deviation, the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, and likewise the Murji'ah, they deviated with regards to this affair. They deviated with regards to this affair. So again, we have Aslu al-Iman. What was the other word for that? Mutlaq al-Iman. And then we have al-Iman al-Wajib. Al-Iman al-Wajib. This one is called al-Iman al-Mutlaq. Natul Manut. Al-Iman al-Mutlaq. The one who finishes it. The one who completes it. So how do we reach al-Iman al-Mutlaq? Al-Iman is called also al-Iman al-Kamil, complete faith. How do we reach that? By performing the obligations and avoiding the prohibitions. And then after that level of Mutlaq al-Iman, or al-Iman al-Wajib, or al-Iman al-Kamil, now there's another level higher than that. What is that called? Al-Iman al-Mustahab. Al-Iman al-Mustahab. So now we see how to get there. What about coming down? From here also we see that there are actions that will wipe out the iman from the bottom, that will uproot the iman from its very root and foundation, like calling on a grave, like begging Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to save you from hardship or danger, to provide for you a child, or to cure your son. This uproots iman from its foundation. Nothing remains whatsoever. Nothing remains whatsoever. Calling on the graves, begging the dead, and the likes like this. Cursing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, cursing Allah or the religion of Allah, mocking the religion or anything that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with. Doing magic, performing magic, slaughtering for the jinn, and the likes like this. All of this uproots the faith from its foundation. There's no iman left. There's not even if he prayed, even if he fasted, none of that benefits with this here. The faith is gone in this manner. The faith is gone in this manner. Do you understand this? Do you understand this? That the faith is gone in this manner. Even if he said, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, even if he's fasting and he's making hajj, but he's calling on others besides Allah, he's cursing their religion, or he's doing these other affairs, or in the likes, then his religion is uprooted from the foundation. Or if he claimed that salat's not an obligation, it's a personal decision, or fasting is a personal decision, a personal choice. If I want to fast, I can fast. If I don't want to, I don't have to. It's not an obligation. To believe that uproots the faith from its very foundation. From its very foundation, he will not enter into the fold of Islam. From the conditions of the Shahada al-Qiyad. Al-Qiyad, from the meaning of Al-Qiyad, is that one, he will accept the rights and obligations and he will believe in them. Yes, this is an obligation. Yes, this is forbidden. He will accept that. And even if he has trouble doing them, he's still a Muslim by accepting that. by accepting them. But if he rejected those rights and those obligations and those prohibitions that are very clear, like the obligation of salat and the obligation of zakat and the obligation of fasting and the likes like this and hajj, then this rejection of this, it will take him out of the fold of Islam. Will take him out of the fold of Islam. So there are actions and statements and belief, or if he has doubt in the day of resurrection, or if he has doubt that the Quran is the speech of Allah, if he has doubt that the Prophet Muhammad, like real doubt, not like a whisper that comes to him and goes away, that he says, A'udhu Billah, and it stops. No, a real doubt. He's not certain. Is it, or is he the messenger or not? He has real doubt. This takes him and validates the foundation of faith. The foundation of faith. So there are actions and statements and beliefs and doubts that will violate the foundation of faith and remove it from its roots. And then there are other actions that are severe, but not that severe. Drinking alcohol, killing a soul, or drinking alcohol, or committing fornication, and the likes like this. Does this uproot faith from the beginning, from the foundation? Does this uproot faith from the foundation? What does it do? It weakens it. It causes it to decrease. It weakens it. It causes it to decrease. And as it decreases, now he's exposed to the anger of Allah accordingly. He's exposed to the punishment of Allah accordingly. He's left to his soul and his whims and desires accordingly. Accordingly, although he's still a Muslim, although he still has faith, and although Allah, he loves him according to his faith. According to his faith. Because Allah, he only gives faith to those whom he loves. But the faith, a person's faith, is in accordance to the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. Is in accordance to the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. You understand that? Huh? Allahu Akbar. So there are things that will invalidate the faith, and there are things that will weaken the faith. Like, what about, for example, if he's walking down the street and he sees something in the parking lot, in the road, and he says, you know what, let me get this out of the way so nobody trips over it. I don't want none of the kids to trip over it. Let me do this for the sake of Allah. Make sure none of the Muslim kids trip over this thing in the road. And he moves it out of the way. What happens to his faith? It'll go up. What if he walks by and he leaves it? He says, you know, I want to, what? That might, some of the Muslim kids might get hurt by that, but you know, I'm in a hurry. I'm just going to keep going. Never mind. What happens to his faith? Huh? You hear him? What do you say? Stays the same. Everybody's with me? Stays the same, right? Why? It's not an obligation. It's not an obligation. He didn't do anything wrong causing his faith to fall down. So the one who performs the recommended aspects of faith, his faith will increase. But if he were to not do them, it will not decrease. It will not decrease. This is in a general sense. There are many minor details to discuss with regards to the issue of al-Iman. But we want to have the general concept and understanding so that we can strive to preserve our faith and to protect our faith and to nourish and cultivate our faith. To nourish and cultivate our faith. Allah musta'an. So alhamdulillah, wallahi, it's the greatest blessing. It's the greatest blessing, the blessing of al-Iman, the blessing of faith, the blessing of deen, the blessing of al-Islam, the blessing of the sunnah, the blessing of al-Salafiyyah, the blessing of istiqama, the blessing of taqwa, the blessing of piety, the blessing of the love of Allah and loving the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the greatest favor and the greatest blessing that we have to cherish and take care of and show thanks to Allah for. And if we show thanks, it would increase. And if we do not show thanks, then it may be stripped from us and we could be replaced. And we could be replaced. So this is the issue of al-Iman. So from the Khawarij, they claim that the one who commits a major sin, it takes him out of Islam. So they misunderstood this issue. They said if some of the Iman goes, all of it goes. إِذَا ذَهَبَ بَعْضُهُ ذَهَبَ كُلُّهُ. This is what they claim. Al-Iman, either ذَهَبَ بَعْضُهُ ذَهَبَ كُلُّهُ. If the Iman goes, if a part of the faith goes, it's all gone. There's no levels, there's no increase, there's no decrease. If something from the faith goes, it all goes. If he commits fornication, his faith is gone. He's out of the fold of Islam. He's out of the fold of Islam. This is what they claim. This is the way of the Khawarij. This is the way of the Khawarij. And then on the other hand, and at the extreme, there's the Murji'a. These are the people who have misunderstandings and doubts and misconceptions and innovations with regards to Mas'alat Iman. Al-Iman. And the Murji'a, they say, لَا يَضُرُّ الذَّنْبُ مَعَ الْإِيمَانِ. That sins do not harm so long as you have faith. كَمَا أَنَّ طَاعَةَ لَا تَنْفَعُ مَنْ كُفْرُ. Just like obedience does not benefit for a disbeliever. So if a disbeliever does an action of obedience, if a disbeliever, he does a good deed, does he have reward for that? Is this accepted from him? he does a good deed. He's nice to his mom. He gives some charity. He feels bad for the poor and the likes like this. But he's a kafir. He's a kafir. He didn't do it for the sake of Allah. He did it for Jesus, or he did it for Buddha, or he did it because he just likes to be nice to people and the likes like this. Will this action of obedience help him? Will this action of obedience help him? No, it will not help him. Will this action of obedience help him? It will not help him. If he gets anything, then he's going to get some food for it or something like this from this life. So it will not help him. It will not benefit him. And so this is what they claim. Actions of obedience do not benefit a person. Do not benefit a person with disbelief. Then sins do not harm a person with faith. Sins do not harm a person with faith. So if obedience doesn't benefit a person with disbelief, then sins don't harm a person with faith. You understand that? This is their conception. So disbelief, if a person does actions of goodness, it will not benefit him. So likewise, then a person of faith, sins do not harm him. So they claim that a person who says La ilaha illallah, even if he commits the major sin, his faith is like the faith of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. His faith is like the faith of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. You understand that? This is misguidance. So they consider faith to be one thing likewise. And once you reach it, that's it. It's over. Alhamdulillah, you're all good. You're all good. Man qala la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. So these people, the murji'ah, they look at the text of the wa'ah and the promise of mercy and paradise for those who believe. And these people here, the khawarij, they look at the verses of the threat, the wa'id, the threat of the punishment for those who disobey. So they focus on these aspects. So they go astray in this manner and they go astray in this manner. As for the people of sunnah, then they look at all of the text. And I made an example before, and that is like someone looking at a pyramid from on top. The people of the sunnah, the way that they achieve the pure truth and the proper understanding is because they look at the text, all of them together in a particular issue, like someone who is looking at a pyramid from above. Someone who's looking at a pyramid from above. He can see all sides. He can see all angles. As for somebody who's looking at one side, he can only see what's in front of him. He don't even know what's on the other side or what's on the back side and the likes like this. So he's not able to make a proper judgment based upon the reality of that structure, because he can only see one side. But as for the person looking on top of it, now he can tell you the reality of that structure because he sees it from all sides. So the people of knowledge, any of the scholars of hadith, the people of the sunnah, they look at the text from all angles and all aspects. And from here, they're able to derive the proper understanding. They're able to derive the proper understanding without going to extremes in this way, nor extremes in this way. So sometimes there are people who are extreme, going beyond the boundaries, and others, they're going to extremes in negligence. So this is the issue of al-Iman. It increases and it decreases. It increases and it decreases. It can increase until it's high into the sky and the size of mountains, and it can decrease and decrease and decrease. Even it can be removed and lost entirely. Waliyadu billah. It can be removed and lost entirely. Waliyadu billah. What time is it? There's 1 hour. I have a suggestion. We have to continue. Bi'inillahi ta'ala. But we can take a break, 5 minutes. Or we can keep going right now for another 30, 45 minutes. What do you like? Huh? Because we want to finish after Maghrib. So we have to meet a point that's going to, inshallah, be easy for us to finish after Maghrib. To finish after Maghrib. Keep going. Keep going. Huh? Keep going. Take a break. You need to stand up. Stretch your legs. It's okay. Al-ilmu thaqilun. Knowledge is heavy. Alhamdulillah. طيب, after this, the author, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, وَالِقْرَارُ بِالرُّؤْيَةِ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ Al-iqraru bil-ru'yati ba'da al-maut. To affirm seeing Allah Azza wa Jal after death. The ru'ya, meaning ru'yat Allah Azza wa Jal. So now the author, he moves on to the issue, masalat al-ru'ya. Masalat al-ru'ya. Yani ru'yat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fil akhirah. Meaning seeing Allah Azza wa Jal in the hereafter. Seeing Allah Azza wa Jal in the hereafter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book with regards to this, وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ ناظرة إلى ربها ناظرة. That on the day of resurrection, their faces, they will be brilliant, full of نظارة, يعني brilliant with light and joy and happiness. إلى ربها ناظرة, looking at their Lord, looking at their Lord. So this is from the evidences of that. And likewise, Allah, He says, كلا إنهم عن ربهم يومئذ لمحجوبون, mentioning about the kufar, those people who are disgraced in the hereafter and failures, that rather, no, they will be concealed. And their Lord will be concealed from them on that day. Their Lord will be concealed from them. They will not see their Lord on that day. Al-Imam al-Shafi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned the fact that the disbelievers are punished by not seeing Allah Azza wa Jal for their disbelief. This is an indication that the disbelievers are punished by Allah Azza wa Jal for their disbelief. And because he's angry with them, then the believers, they will see their Lord. This is an indication. It's an indication that the believers, they will see their Lord because of their faith and because that Allah is pleased with them. So there's no meaning for Allah to say, كَلَا إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. No, on that day, the day of resurrection, they are concealed and hidden from their Lord. And they will not see. They will not see Him. They will not see Him. So if everybody is not going to see Him, what's the point of mentioning that the disbelievers will not see Him specifically? So the fact that Allah mentioned that the disbelievers will be concealed, will not see Him, will not see Allah Azza wa Jalla, will not see their Lord because of their disbelief and the anger of Allah upon them, then this is an indication clearly that those who believe and they have faith and they have sought the pleasure of Allah, that they will see their Lord, Not to mention with the other verses that have been mentioned. Also in the clear narration, which is narrated by Al-Jarir ibn Abdullah Al-Bajri rahimahullah ta'ala, from the most authentic of narrations. كنا عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فنظر إلى القمر ليلته يعني البدر فقال, that we were with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم one night and he looked up صلى الله عليه وسلم at the moon, meaning at the full moon, and then he said, إنكم سترون ربكم, إنكم سترون ربكم, indeed you're going to see your Lord, كما ترون هذا القمر لا تضامون في رؤيته, the way that you see the moon, you're not going to have to harm one another or crowd together in order to see it, in order to see Him. You're not going to have to harm or crowd together in order to see Him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned clearly that indeed the believers, they will see their Lord on the day of resurrection. They will see them just as easily as they see the moon on a full moon's night. Not saying that Allah is like the moon, but saying that just as they are able to see the moon easily from the place that they're sitting, not having to crowd one another, not pushing each other down and raising one's neck and head and looking over the other, rather all of them sitting in their same position, safely and comfortably, able to look up at the sky and see the moon clearly there, effortless. Likewise, on the day of resurrection, the believers, they will be able to see their Lord. The believers, they will be able to see their Lord. Allahu Akbar. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gives advice with regards to this. فَنِسْتَطَعْتُمْ أَلَّا تُغْلَبُوا عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَبْلَ تُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَقَبْلَ غُرُوبِهَا فَفْعَلُوا. So if you are able to not be overcome by a prayer before the rising of the sun and before its setting, then you must do that. So here, this is mentioned here along with the fact that the believers, they will see their Lord. So therefore, the believers, they will see their Lord. So if you're able to not be overcome by performing a salah before the rising of the sun and before the setting of the sun, then you must do it. A clear indication that there's a relationship between establishing the prayer and seeing Allah Azza wa Jal. Between establishing the prayer with the salah is the sila, a sila bayna al-abdi wa bayna rabbihi. The salah is the connection, is the relationship between the person and between his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the one who violates that connection, then he is violating that right to be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a strong connection here, relationship between the two. If you're able to not be overcome in performing the prayer before the rising of the sun, which is the Fajr, and before the setting of the sun, which is the Asr, then you must do that. You know, sometimes a person is overcome at the Fajr time by a pillow or by a blanket, or by the AC, something very, very light, and easy. And that thing will overcome him and he will not get up. Another person at the time of Asr time, maybe he'll be overcome because of a dollar. because of a dollar, because of a business, and the likes like this. He's overcome by his thought. He'll neglect and neglect and neglect because he's chasing a dollar, he's chasing some business, or he's doing some other type of worldly affair. So to remember the relationship between the prayer and seeing Allah in the hereafter, and seeing Allah in the hereafter, even in these verses here on Surah Al-Qiyamah, وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَّا رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. Faces on that day, they will be brilliant, full of happiness and joy and light, looking at their Lord. If you continue after that, Allah, He mentions faces that are going to be miserable. وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَاسِرَةٌ. There's only other going to be other faces that are going to be gloomy. They're going to be dark. They're going to be sad. And then after that, it continues, فَلَا صَدَّقَ وَلَا صَلَّى.
He didn't believe.
Nor did he pray. Nor did he pray. So there's a clear relationship between establishing the prayer and having the blessing and favor of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. Seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. ثُمَّ قَرَأَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. After this, he recited the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ قَبَلَ تُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَقَبَلَ الْغُرُوبِ. And glorify the praises of your Lord before the rising of the sun and before its setting, and before its setting. Likewise, in Sahih Muslim from the Hadith of Suhaib, radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا دَخَلَ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ الْجَنَّةِ قَالَ يَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. Whenever the people of paradise, they enter paradise, then Allah the Most High, He will say, أَتُرِيدُونَ شَيْئًا أَزِيدُكُمْ. Do you want anything that I can increase you, add to you, give you an addition? فَيَقُولُونَ. So they will say, أَلَمْ تُبَيِّدْ وُجُوهَنَا أَلَمْ تُدْخِلْنَا الْجَنَّةِ وَتُنَجِّنَا مِنَ النَّارِ وَتُنَجِّنَا مِنَ النَّارِ. He said, they will say to Allah, did you not whiten our faces, brighten our faces? Did you not admit us into paradise? Did you not save us from the fire? قَالَ فَيَكْشِفُ الْحِجَابَ فَمَا أُعْطُوا شَيْئًا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّظَرِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And then Allah, He will reveal the hijab that the kuffar they were concealed from. Allah, He will reveal the hijab, and they were not given anything more beloved to them than looking at their Lord, and looking and being able to see their Lord. It's come in Sunan al-Nisa'i, from the hadith of Ammar ibn Yasir, radiallahu anhu, and a long narration, which is a supplication, a beautiful supplication. And the end of that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say, وَأَسْأَلُكَ لَذَّةَ النَّظَرْ إِلَى وَجْهِكَ وَالشَّوْقَ إِلَى لِقَائِكَ. Oh Allah, I ask you for the delight to see your face, and the yearning to meet you. And this is something the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for. وَأَسْأَلُكَ لَذَّةَ النَّظَرْ إِلَى وَجْهِكَ. I ask you for the delight of looking at your face. This is something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he desired and he was hoping for. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned in His book, and He said, Subhana لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَةً. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَةً. Those who do good, you need those who are muhsinun. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا. Who are they? Up here, right? الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى. الْحُسْنَى الْجَنَّةِ وَزِيَادَةِ. وَزِيَادَة is to look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to see Allah azza wa jalla. That's what is being taught. أَزِيدُكُمْ أَتُرِدُونَ شَيْئًا أَزِيدُكُمْ. Do you want anything I can give you more? Do you want any increase, any addition? This is what is intended here in this verse is to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jalla, He says, لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ. They have whatever they like therein, and we have an increase for them. And the increase has been interpreted to mean seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has come in the Ha'iyya of Ibn Abi Dawood. He said, قَدْ يُنْكِرُ الْجَهْمِيُّ هَذَا وَعِنْدَنَا بِمِسْنَقِ مَا قُلْنَا حَدِيثُ مُصَرِّحُ رَوَاهُ جَرِيرٌ مَقَالِ مُحَمَّدٍ فَقُلْ مِثْلَ مَا قَدْ قَالَ فِي ذَاكَ تَنْجَحُ فَقُلْ مِثْلَ مَا قَدْ قَالَ فِي ذَاكَ تَنْجَحُ. That probably the Jahmi, they also deny this as well. And they deny that the Quran is a speech of Allah. He said probably they deny this likewise as well, meaning that they do deny this. But we have for the testimony to the authenticity of our statement a hadith that is narrated by Jarir. This is the one that we just discussed. And he is narrating it from the statement of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so you must say the likes of what he said. In that manner you will be safe. In that manner you will be safe. This is the methodology of the people of hadith, that we say what they say. We say what they say. We say what the Prophet Muhammad said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We say what the Quran says. We say what the hadith says. We say what the sahaba they said. Radiallahu anhum. Al-ilmu qala Allahu qala rasuluhu qala sahabatuhum ulu adifani. So knowledge is saying is what Allah said and what His messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what the companions said, radiallahu anhum, because they are the people of knowledge and understanding. The companions, they are the people of knowledge and understanding. So with regards to the issue of al-iman, we discussed that previously, and we've seen that iman, it increases and decreases. It increases and decreases. So whenever you hear the likes of these narrations, what happens to your faith? It goes up. SubhanAllah is going to say, do you want to be like that? This is Allahu Akbar. I want to do good. I don't want to jeopardize my opportunity. I want to get myself together. Astaghfirullah. I want to start praying Fajr. I want to start praying Asr. I want to start praying Dhuhr. I want to start praying Maghrib. I want to be in the masjid more often. I want to learn my religion. I want to study hadith. I want to memorize the Quran. I want to finish Juz Amma. It encourages you. Your faith increases. Your faith increases. So the people of knowledge, they mention, barakallahu fikum, that there are things, there are affairs, there are issues, there are reasons for the faith to increase. They're called asbab ziyadat al-iman. And also there are reasons, there are things that cause the faith to decrease. Asbab nuqsan al-iman. So this is a big topic, and I'll summarize in just brief points. Without any evidence or any proof, I'm just going to mention them one by one. You can write them down. And you can review and go back if you like, but at least you have these issues here in your mind, that these are from the means of increasing the faith or from decreasing the faith. So min asbabi ziyadat al-iman, from the means and reasons for increasing the faith, number one, ta'allum al-ilm al-nafi', learning the beneficial knowledge. Learning the beneficial knowledge is number one. In order to increase in faith, you have to learn the beneficial knowledge, because from the reality of faith is that it is beneficial knowledge. It is beneficial knowledge. Knowledge of Allah, knowledge of His Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knowledge in the law and legislation of Al-Islam. Knowledge of the law and legislation of Al-Islam. So under this one topic, there's other issues here that's from the means to increase the faith, like qira'atul Qur'an bitadabbur, reciting the Qur'an while pondering and reflecting over the meaning. From the greatest means to increase in faith is to recite the Qur'an, or to listen to the Qur'an recited, and to ponder and reflect over its meanings, and to study the Qur'an, and to seek the tafsir and explanation of the Qur'an from the proper sources. In this manner, the faith will increase. If a person is able to learn the Arabic language fluently, and then ponder and reflect over the Qur'an, this is what is required. This is what is necessary. But even if someone is struggling and he has not yet learned the Arabic language, even if he does not know the Arabic language, he can still play the Qur'an and grab the interpretation, the translation of the meanings of the Qur'an by Dr. Muhsin Khan and Shaykh Taqiyuddin al-Hilali, which is known as the Noble Qur'an, and read along with the recitation. Read along while it's playing, you read along, so the meanings are coming into your heart while you're listening. So the meanings are coming into your heart while you listen. Wallah, your heart will burst. Wallah, your heart will burst. If you ever had any arrogance or any pride, it will go away. If you ever had any doubts or misconceptions, it will go away. It will leave you. It will leave you. It will humble you. It will make you feel good. If you felt bad, you'll feel better. If you felt good, you'll feel the best. Yani alhamdulillah. By listening to the Quran and pondering and thinking about the meanings. Thinking about the meanings, especially for those who have studied the likes of these classes and other classes where they learn the principles of faith. They have knowledge of Tawheed. They have knowledge of angels. They have knowledge of books and prophets and messengers. They have knowledge of some of the details of the day of resurrection. They have knowledge of the proper creed and belief in the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, because this is what Allah is establishing in the Quran, these pillars and these principles. So the Quran is like water for the faith. Water for the faith. And the foundation of the faith is in the heart. And that is those six pillars. We've seen that in our class previously. The six pillars of faith. That's the foundation of faith. The six pillars of faith. أخبرني عن الإيمان تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسوله واليوم الآخر تؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. This is the foundation of faith. From here proceeds faith. From here proceeds faith. The actions of faith. The deeds of faith. The speech of faith. The manners of faith. From here proceeds the application of the iman, the application of the iman. So by learning these principles and then reading the Quran, listening to the Quran, studying the Quran, trying to reflect, hoping to be guided, hoping to be guided, wallahi, so much benefit will come for you. So likewise as well, ma'rifatu asma'illah al-husna wa sifatihi al-ula, also having knowledge of the beautiful names of Allah and His attributes, His lofty attributes of perfection, pondering over these affairs, knowing these affairs. And then if you combine that along with pondering over the Quran, you will find so many great benefits mentioned in verses, and then those verses will be closed with the mention of names and attributes. And there's a relationship between the knowledge and the rulings and the benefits that are mentioned in that verse to those names that that verse is closed with. That verse is closed with. This is a relationship here. You start to ponder over this and your heart will open up. Wallahi, and the faith will grow and it will bloom and it will bring great fruits and benefits for you. May Allah bless us in our faith. So then after this, the next point, ta'ammun mahasin ad-din al-islami, to ponder and reflect over the beauties about Islam. To ponder and reflect over the beauties about Islam. Each one of these points we could talk, it would be a lesson. If we get involved in that, we'll be here until Maghrib. Barakallahu feekum. So we move. The next one after that, qira'atu as-sirah an-nabawiyyah, reading and studying the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then after that, reading and studying the biographies and the lives of the pious and righteous predecessors, and on the righteous and the people of knowledge all the way to our day, all the way to our day. Number, that's all related to number one, which is learning and seeking knowledge. Number two, at-ta'ammun fil ayat al-kawniyyah, to ponder and reflect on the universal signs in the creation. Number three, al-ijtihad fi al-qiyami bil a'mal as-saliha wal-ihsani fiha. Number three, striving to establish the righteous and good deeds and striving to perform them properly and correctly, inwardly and outwardly, with a heart that is alive. With a heart that is alive, and he focusing on the actions of the heart, and likewise the actions of the tongue, and the actions of the body parts, and to establish that the best one can. And from that, likewise, also is to call to Allah. Calling to Allah is from the means to increase the faith, because if you do good, Allah will do good to you. In Allah fi awni al-abdi ma kana al-abdu fi awni akhihi. In Allah fi awni al-abdi ma kana al-abdu fi awni akhihi. That a person, he helps the slave whenever he's helping his brother. He's helping his brother, so the best help you can do for your brother is to call him to the deen, is to call him to Islam, to give him sincere advice, to teach him about Tawheed, to encourage him to follow the Sunnah, and the likes like this. So in doing this, when one is sincere and he's truthful, it would increase the faith in a great manner. It would increase the faith in a great manner. Also, having good company. Having good company, having good friends, being in the gatherings of knowledge, being around the people of knowledge, being around the students of knowledge, being around the righteous, being around the people who are known to have good manners, any according to the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the likes like this, and also staying away from the means to decrease the faith. Staying away from the means to decrease the faith. So from here we have asbab, min asbab al-nuqsan. Nuqsan al-Iman. So also there are means that will cause the faith to decrease. And there are asbab dakhiliya wa asbab kharijiya. There are means inside a person in his life, and there are means outside of a person. That all of these affairs could be a reason for the faith to fall and to decrease. Number one is jahl. Al-jahlu bi-tawheedi wa bi-deeni Allahi Azza wa Jal, to be ignorant of the tawheed and to be ignorant of the religion of Allah. This is from the greatest means for the faith to fall and to decrease and to be weak. And to be weak. Number two, al-ghaflatu wal-i'rad. And number two is not necessarily ignorant, but being heedless and forgetful. Being negligent and remembering Allah and remembering the hereafter. Number three, al-ma'asi with dhunub, actions of disobedience and sins, from the greatest means that will decrease the faith, to disobey Allah and to commit sins and to follow one's desires. Number four, al-nafsu al-amaratu bisu, the soul that calls to evil. A person has to learn about his soul so he's able to protect his faith from the calls of his own soul and the whispers of his own nafs and his own desires. As for the outward means, the outward means that are means to weaken the faith. Number one, ash-shaytan, the devil. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. And number two, الدُّنْيَا وَفِتْنَتُهَا. The dunya, this worldly life, and its trials and tribulations, its beauty and its adornment, and the deceptions of the devil with regards to that, thinking that it will last forever. Thinking that it will last forever, and he living like they believe that it will last forever. No one believes that it will last forever, but some people, they live like they believe that. They live like they believe that. And number three, قُرُنَا السوء, having bad companions, having bad friends is from the means that your faith will fall and decrease and become weak. From the means that your faith will fall and decrease and become weak. And become weak. 52, 60. How much time do we have? How long has it been since the last time I checked? Almost 30 minutes? We almost hit the limit? Huh? Okay. We read it. Bismillah. He says, Rahimahullah, وَمَا نَطَقَ بِهِ الْقُرْآنُ وَالْحَدِيثِ. This is any connected to that which is before. وَالْإِقْرَارِ وَالْإِقْرَارِ بِالرُّؤْيَةِ وَالْإِقْرَارُ بِمَا نَطَقَ بِهِ الْقُرْآنُ وَالْحَدِيثِ. And we affirm and we believe in and we establish that which has come in the Quran and in the Hadith. And now we're discussing مَسَلَةُ الصِّفَاتِ. مَسَلَةُ الصِّفَاتِ, the issue of the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. So we believe in that which has come in the Quran and the Hadith, meaning with regards to the sifat of Allah Azza wa Jal. مِثْلُ وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ يَدَ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولَ. Like the statement of the Jews that they say the hands of Allah are tied up, meaning that Allah he's greedy and does not spend. He's greedy and he does not spend. وَلِيَذَ بِلَا غُلَّتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَلُعِنُوا بِمَا قَالُوا. Allah, he says, rather may their hands be tied up and they're cursed from what they say. They're cursed from what they say. So the shahid here is the affirmation of the hands of Allah. So Allah, he says he has hands. So we say like the Quran says that Allah, he has hands. And then he says, وَمِثْلُ وَالسَّمَوَاتُ مَطْوِيَاتٌ بِيَمِينِ. And like the statement of Allah, the Most High, and the heavens will be rolled up in his right hand. And the heavens will be rolled up in his right hand. So we see that Allah, he affirmed for himself that he has hands. And then even more specifically that he has a right hand. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we affirm that likewise for Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is what he's saying. Then he says, وَمَا أَشْبَهَ هَذَا مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ وَالْحَدِيثِ لَا نَزِيدُ فِيهِ وَلَا نُفَصِّرُهُ وَنَقِفُ عَلَى مَا وَقَفَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنُ وَالسُنَّةِ وَنَقِفُ عَلَى مَا وَقَفَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنُ وَالسُنَّةِ. And that which is similar to this, and that which is similar to these verses here from the text concerning the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which has come in the Qur'an and the Hadith. We do not add to this. We do not add to this, and nor do we interpret it. وَلَا نُفَسِّرُهُ. Yani we don't interpret it. يعني لا نُفَسِّرُهُ تَفَاسِيرُ الْبَاطِلَةِ تَفَاسِيرُ الْجَهْمِيَةِ وَالْمَؤَوِّلَةِ. We do not interpret these verses, the false interpretations of the Jahmiyyah, the Mu'awwilah and the Mu'attilah, those who deny the attributes and those who misinterpret the attributes and change them from their apparent meaning. We do not make these type of interpretations, whether we believe in them as they come, عَلَى ظَوَاهِرِهَا, and their apparent meaning. نَقِفُ عَلَى مَا وَقَفَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنِ وَالسُنَّةِ. We stop, and that which the Qur'an and the Sunnah has stopped at. And like this, likewise, that Imam Ahmad, he said, رَحِمَهُ تَعَالَى, نَسِفُ اللَّهَ بِمَا وَصَفَ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ فِي كِتَابِهِ وَبِمَا وَصَفَ بِهِ رَسُولُهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ لَا نَتَجَاوَزُ الْقُرْآنَ وَالْحَدِيثِ. That we describe Allah with what Allah described himself with in his book, and with what his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described him with, la natajawazu al-Qur'an wal-Hadith. We do not go beyond the Qur'an and Hadith. This is what the author is saying here. Naqifu ala ma waqafa alayhi al-Qur'an wa sunnah. We stop where the Qur'an and Sunnah stops with regards to mentioning and discussing the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. Wa naqulu ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa. And we say that ar-Rahman has risen over his throne, meaning in a manner befitting his majesty. وَمَنْ زَعَمَ غَيْرَ هَذَا فَهُوَ مُعَطِّلٌ جَهْمِي. And whoever claims contrary to this, then he is a mu'attil jahmi. That he is from the jahmiyyah, and from those who belie and deny the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with regards to the beautiful names and the lofty attributes of Allah azza wa jal, then the people of knowledge, yani yuthbituna ma athbatahu Allahu azza wa jal wa ma athbata lahu rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yuthbituna ma athbata Allahu lahu subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani li nafsihi, wa ma athbata lahu rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We affirm that which Allah has affirmed for himself in his book, and we affirm that which the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has affirmed. And likewise, nunazzihu Allah سبحانه وتعالى عن كل نقص وكل عيب. عن كل نقص وكل, and we free Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from having any deficiency or any defect or fault. So then the understanding here in these beautiful names and attributes, according to the understanding of the people of hadith, is إثباتٌ بلا تمثيل وتنزيهٌ بلا تعطيل. إثباتٌ بلا تمثيل وتنزيهٌ بلا تعطيل. These are from those terms, those legislative words, مصطلحات that we must learn. إثباتٌ بلا تمثيل أو بلا تشبيه. To affirm the attributes that are affirmed in the book and the sunnah without likening them to the creation whatsoever. So we affirm them, but we don't affirm how they are. We affirm the meanings that which are found there, and that is clear. And we don't liken any of these attributes to anything in the creation. And وَتَنْزِيهٌ بِلَا تَعْطِيلٍ. And we free Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from every weakness and deficiency and shortcoming without denying anything from His attributes. Without denying anything from His attributes. One extreme is to liken Allah to the creation. This is disbelief and not allowed. Another extreme is to deny the attributes that Allah affirmed for Himself and His Messenger affirmed for Him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not allowed. This is not allowed. So the proper way is in between the two. You make ithbatun bila tashbih, bila tamthil. You make tanzihun bila ta'fil. So you affirm that which is affirmed in the book and the sunnah, but you do not liken these attributes to anything in the creation. And you free Allah from any defect, any resemblance to the creation, any fault, any shortcoming. You free Allah from that without denying any of His attributes that have come in the book and the sunnah. And this is based upon the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. This is negation, tanzih. Allah is freeing Himself from having any resemblance to anything in the creation. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. This portion here is similar like the last verse in Surah Al-Ikhlas. Who knows that verse? وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. And He has no resemblance or peer, any rival whatsoever. Whatsoever. This is that portion here. But the second portion of this verse here is Surah Shura, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. So لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. There's nothing resembling him or like unto his resemblance whatsoever. There's nothing comparable to him whatsoever. There's nothing equal to him whatsoever. هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيعًا. Of course you have there, you know nothing that's comparable or similar to him whatsoever. But along with that negation, along with that tanzih, along with that tasbih, glorifying Allah from having a resemblance to anything in the creation, glorifying Allah from having any weakness or defect whatsoever, we affirm that He is all hearing and all seeing. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. So along with the fact there's nothing like Him, He hears and He sees. And if you look into the creation, barakallahu fikum, the majority of the creation that is alive has the ability to hear and to see. The majority of the creation that is alive, the life of a soul, the humans and the animals, the majority of humans and the animal life, they have the ability to see. The fish they can see, the ants they can see, the cats they can see, the birds they can see, right? The octopus they can see, they can hear also, the cats they can hear, the human being they can hear. But even the way that they hear and see from these different creatures and these different animals is all completely different. The way birds see is not like the way the cats see, and of course not like the way we see. And the way they hear likewise. The cats, they hear different than the way that we hear. And the fish, they hear different than the way that the cats hear. So these attributes of seeing and hearing are established in the creation, and they all vary according to which one is ascribed to. So hearing and seeing, we know what that means. But when you ascribe it to a fish, it's suitable for a fish. Or if you ascribe it to a cat, it's suitable for a cat. Or if you ascribe it to a bird, it's suitable for a bird. Or if you ascribe it to a person, it's suitable for a person. A young person, an old person, even sometimes they don't hear the same. Right, they don't hear the same. The reality of that attribute is different according to what it's ascribed to. Although they share in the general meaning, understanding voices and sounds, comprehending voices and sounds. So from the principles, likewise, the people of knowledge, as they mentioned, al idafa tu taqtadi at takhsis. When you make an idafa, an ascription to something, in the Arabic language, mudaf mudaf ilayh. When you make an ascription to something, now it becomes specific. Now it becomes specific. So whenever you say hearing, that's general. But when you say the hearing of a bird, now it's specific. Whenever you say the hearing of an elephant, now it's specific. Whenever you say the hearing of a man, now it's specific. Whenever you say the hearing of a boy, now it's specific. The hearing of a cat, now it's specific. So now that general understanding of hearing has been made specific according to what it's ascribed to. You understand? So Allah, He has ascribed to Himself hearing. And He has told us that there's nothing like Him whatsoever. So therefore He hears, and we know what hearing means. But He doesn't hear like anything in the creation. There's nothing comparable to Him whatsoever. You see how easy the creed of Ahlus Sunnah is? It's not very hard. Allah, He says that He hears, so we say that He hears. And Allah, He says there's nothing like Him, so we say there's nothing like Him. This is the principle in all of the attributes. إِثْبَاتٌ بِلَا تَمْثِيلٌ إِثْبَاتٌ بِلَا تَمْثِيلٌ وَتَنْزِيهٌ بِلَا تَعْطِيلٌ. That we affirm these attributes that have come in the book and the sunnah because Allah, He knows best about Himself, and the Messenger of Allah knows best about Him from the creation. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we affirm what they affirm from these names and attributes, and we do not resemble it to anything in the creation. Anything in the creation. And we free Allah Azza wa Jalla from any defect or fault or having any resemblance whatsoever to anything in the creation, along without denying these attributes that have come because Allah, He knows best. وَمَنْ أَسْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Who knows better? Who is more truthful? Who is more truthful in speech than Allah Azza wa Jal? So this is the easy way, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So we do not distort the word and change the meaning. Because distorting the word and changing the meaning leads to denying the attribute. We do not distort the word and change the meaning because we already affirmed that we free Allah from any shortcoming or defect, but we do not deny the meaning. So from the ways of denying the attribute is they distort the meaning. They say, al-istiwa, which means to rise, it means to conquer. Istawla. So they change the letter, change the word, change the meaning, and they wind up denying the attribute. Or they say the hands, it means power. Or the hands, it means blessing. Allah's two blessings. Allah's two powers. Allah created Adam with His two powers, or His two blessings. And so they claim it doesn't even make sense. It's not even proper. So they claim this. They claim this, but it's not correct. So in claiming that, they're denying the attributes. That Allah, He doesn't have hands. This is what they claim. By saying that hands means power. Hands means blessing. Meaning Allah, He doesn't have hands. So whenever they misinterpret these attributes and they distort the meanings and they try to make tafsir and they call it ta'wil, but its true reality is tahrif, distortion. Distorting the meanings from the apparent meaning, because istiwa, to raise, hearing, to hear, sama, to hear. Right, these attributes, they're known. Yed, hand, is known in the Arabic language what it means. But whenever it's ascribed to Allah, it's established in a manner befitting the majesty of Allah. So the meanings are known to us, and we affirm the meanings. But as for the reality of how those meanings are with regards to Allah Azza wa Jalla, then we do not know that. So Allah, He has hands because He has hands. But His hands are not like the hands of anything in the creation. He has hands befitting His glory and His majesty, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have hands and I have hands and the clock has hands. Are your hands like the hands on the clock? Not the same whatsoever. Even if I said the hands on the clock, you don't even think anything. You don't resemble the hands on the clock to my hands whatsoever. It never crosses your mind. Or the clock has a face and I have a face. And the watch has a face and the mountain has a face. How many people are on the face of earth today? So the earth has a face. And the clock has a face, and you have a face. But whenever we say the face of the clock, we do not think about beard and mustache, right? Whenever we say the face of an ant, we don't think about beard and mustache either, right? And whenever we say the face of a watch, what do we think? Each one is according to what it's ascribed to. So Allah, He said He has a face. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. So He has a face then. This is what He's telling us. We say what the Quran and Hadith says. The Quran says He has a face. We say He has a face. The Prophet ﷺ, he made dua, Allah, grant me the blessing to see your face. To see your face. So then the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah has a face. So then we say He has a face. But He doesn't have a face like the watch. He doesn't have a face like a clock. He doesn't have a face like a mountain. He doesn't have a face like the earth. He doesn't have a face like you or I. He doesn't have a face like anything in the creation. He has a face full of beauty and light and brilliance in a manner befitting His majesty. As for how it is, we do not know. So then we affirm all of these attributes and we say, كَمَا يَلِيكُ بِجَلَالِهِ وَعَظَمَتِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. In the manner befitting His majesty and glory, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the manner befitting His majesty and glory, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our mind is cut off. We have no resemblance to anything in the creation. If the watch has a face and the clock has a face and the earth has a face and you have a face, and it never crosses our mind any resemblance whatsoever except for the general name and understanding of that. the general name and understanding. You have a hearing and I have a hearing, and cat has a hearing and hearing, and fish has a hearing and bird has a hearing. There's a general understanding that's agreed upon and understood here. But when it's ascribed to these different things, it's completely different. It's completely different. So there's no comparison. There's no comparison, even in the creation here. So then how about for the Creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. So there's no comparison to the Creator whatsoever. So we affirm these attributes without likening them to the creation, and we free Allah from every defect and shortcoming and every fault without denying His attributes. Without denying His attributes. So this is the general summarization of believing in the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, the people of knowledge, they say, al-kalamu fi sifat far'un al-kalamu fi dhat. To talk about the attributes of something is stemming from knowing the reality of that thing, the essence of that thing. So the essence of Allah Azza wa Jal, we believe in the existence of Allah, but we do not know how He exists. He exists in a perfect, absolute manner, no beginning and no ending. Al-awwal alladhi laysa qablahu shay. The first, there's nothing before Him. Al-akhir alladhi laysa ba'dahu shay. The last, there's nothing after Him. Al-hayy alladhi la yamut. The one who's alive and never dies. La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. He does not get sleep or tired. You tired? Your Lord doesn't get tired. Inna rabbaka la yanam wa la yanbaghi lahu an yanam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, indeed your Lord, He does not sleep. Indeed your Lord does not sleep, and it's not proper for Him to sleep. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't get tired. Yut'imu wa la yut'am. He feeds, He's not fed. He's powerful and He's strong. He has no weakness whatsoever. Allah, la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. This is our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we believe in Him, and we believe in His existence, and we believe in His perfect existence and perfect life. And before we could ever talk about His attributes, we must know the reality of His existence. His existence. So we only know about His existence from what He has told us. Likewise, we only know about His attributes from what He has told us. So we cannot speak about Him if we do not know the reality of His existence, except with information that is reliable from the Quran and from the Sunnah. So anyone who speaks about the attributes of Allah or anything from the affairs of the unseen without reliable information from the Quran and the Sunnah, he's only speaking from His desires. He's only making up stuff. He's speaking from His desires, because these are affairs we never seen. You seen Jannah? Never seen Jannah. You seen Jannah? We never seen Jannah. Nothing like that. So to speak about that without proof from Quran and Sunnah is just making up stuff. It's just making up stuff. So this is the case with regards to the affairs of the unseen. In order to talk about it, you must have reliable information from the Quran and from the authentic Sunnah. One more principle with regards to these names and attributes, or rather two more. We've taken them briefly. The people of knowledge, as they mentioned, لَازِمُ صِفَاتِ الْمَخْلُوقِ لَا يُكُونُ لَازِمًا فِي صِفَاتِ الْخَالِقِ لَازِمُ صِفَاتِ الْمَخْلُوقِ لَا يُكُونُ لَازِمًا فِي صِفَاتِ الْخَالِقِ That the attributes of the creation, that which is these attributes require and necessitate in the creation, they're not required, and the attributes of the Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Creator. And the Creator. For example, al-istiwa. Al-istiwa means to rise. To rise. So Allah, He rose above the throne in a manner befitting His majesty. So some people, that which leads them to deny this attribute and to change and distort the meaning, that what leads them to distort the meaning is because they resemble that to the creation. And they flee from that, so they change the meaning and wind up denying the attribute. Denying the attribute. So they say, if somebody's riding on a boat, if he made istiwa on the boat, Like Nuh alayhi salam, what happened? Whenever they got on the boat, and they made istiwa. And likewise, the boat istawat ala judi. The boat got on top of the mountain whenever the flood was over. So what happens if the people are on the boat and they're on top of the boat and then the boat sinks? Huh? They're gonna just stay floating in the air? Huh? Or if the boat falls, lands on the mountain and then the mountain falls, what happens to the boat? It falls. So the one who made istiwa on something, and from the creation, then he's in need of that thing. Somebody who gets on top of the table, if the table falls, he falls. Somebody who gets on top of the building, if the building falls, he falls. So the person who made istiwa on top of something, he rose above on something. He rose above something in the creation. He's in need of that thing. If that thing goes, he goes along with it. So therefore they say, if the throne were to fall, then Allah, He will. You understand? So this is according to that which is required from the attributes of the people of the creation is not necessary in the attributes of the Creator. Why? There's nothing like unto him whatsoever. So you're resembling this to the creation. You're looking at like the creation. They say Allah, he doesn't talk. Allah, he doesn't speak, because that means you have to have a throat and a vocal cord and this and this and that. Right? No, that's what you have to have. You're a creation. You have to have that. But as for that, the Lord, that which is required for your attributes is not required for him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. You understand that? This is a general principle. Alhamdulillah. This is from the easy ways to refute the Asha'ira and the likes of them, from the Jahmiyyah and those who ascribe to that way of denying the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. The next point we mentioned and we close, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, that we affirm the meaning. We affirm the meaning, that which is apparent in the Arabic language. The meaning of hand, the meaning of face, the meaning of hearing, the meaning of seeing, the meaning of mercy, the meaning of love, the meaning of anger, the meaning of laughing. All of these attributes, we know the meanings. We know the meanings. So we affirm that. We do not deny that. And also, we do not say, oh, well, Allah knows best what it means. That's called tafwid. We don't do that. We don't do that. There's some people who claim to follow the methodology of the Salaf, and they ascribe this falsely to the Salaf. The Salaf do not make tafwid of the meaning. Rather, the Salaf, they affirm the meaning. They affirm the meaning. We believe in the meaning. We believe in the meaning. What we make tafwil of, what we entrust to Allah, what we do not delve into, what we do not know, is how the reality is. How the reality is. So Ahl Sunnah yufawiduna al-kayfiyya, wa la yufawiduna al-ma'na. The people of Sunnah, they entrust the how, the reality of how the attributes of Allah are, to Allah. And they say Allah knows best. And as for the meaning of the attribute, then they know the meaning and they affirm it. Because if you say, well, Allah Adam, the meaning, and you make tafweel of the meaning, then now you have made ta'atheel. You have denied the attribute. You have denied the attribute. And the principle is that we do not deny any of the attributes. So by saying Allah knows best what hands mean, Allah knows best what love means, Allah knows best what this means, then this is another way to deny the attributes. We say, no, we know what love means. We know what hands means. We know what hearing means. So we affirm that meaning. What do we entrust to Allah? The reality of how it is, the reality of how it is, the kayfiyah, how Allah's hands are, how Allah's hearing is, how Allah sees, how Allah knows all things. How that is, we don't know that reality. He did not tell us. All he told us is that he sees, that he hears, that he knows all things, compass all things, that he's most merciful and kind, that he's severe in punishment, that he has face, that he has hands. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what he told us. So we say what he says. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, about himself and what his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said likewise, like the author he's telling us here. So, نُثْبِتُ مَا أَثْبَتُهُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لِنَفْسِهِ مِنْ أَسْمَاءِ الْحُسْنَ وَصِفَاتِ الْعُلِيَا بِغَيْرِ تَشْبِيهٍ وَلَا تَمْثِيلٍ. We affirm it. We affirm everything in the Quran and Sunnah without making any resemblance to the creation whatsoever. وَنُنَزِّهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَنْ النَّقَائِسِ وَالْعُيُوبِ وَالْمُمَاثِلَةِ بِغَيْرِ تَعْفِيلٍ. And we free Allah Azza wa Jalla and glorify Him above having any shortcoming or fault or defect and having any resemblance to the creation without denying any of His attributes that have come in the book and in the Sunnah. Alhamdulillah. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. جزاكم الله خير for being patient, brothers and sisters.